today we have the treat of sharing an interview with you from when I went to Sydney to interview American entrepreneur, New York Times best-selling author, speaker, motivator, Grant Cardone. He is recognized as the number one sales trainer in the world. He has written 4 sales and business books, including New York Times bestsellers, and he's customized sales training programs for Fortune 500 companies. He's a dynamic, sought-after speaker. He's on, you know, Fox News, Fox Business, CNBC. He's all over social media. You know, he's done a lot of interviews and a lot of social media videos, but I wanted to find out what was really going on behind the private jet, the 35,000 people in a stadium. What drives someone to do that? What is their mentality? I wanted to see what I could learn from him, and I guess I was very authentically curious to find out more. I think that brings out some really unique content. Without further ado, welcome to LinkedIn Heroes, Mr. Grant. If you could be a superhero, who would you be and why?
Yeah, I'd be Grant Cardone. Fuck Batman.
Grant, first of all, just congratulations on everything you've achieved.
Thank you.
You know, you've really taken everything to a new standard and to a new level. Like, I was looking at your YouTube playlist the other day.
Yeah.
You've got like 15 video series that you've got on there, like power plays.
And yeah. We've got a lot of content there.
Do you consider yourself more as an entrepreneur or more as a sales person? Was your first venture in business or was it in sales?
Oh, it was definitely in sales.
Yeah.
I was a sales guy. Like, I learned sales, mastered sales, and then got stuck in it too long.
Yeah, and because it's changed so much, isn't it?
It wasn't because it changed. It was just I got stuck. I didn't think about elevating my game as a business person or as a manager and an organizer.
Yeah.
So it's a real entrepreneur. I was just a sales guy too long.
Yeah, and that's another interesting thing is like the amount of content that you're producing, Richard Branson's producing. I think that there's an illusion, like people think, you know, yeah, Grant's just doing that all that himself, but there's a lot of, you know, people that go into, you know, managing a community and doing all that stuff, isn't it?
Look, you know, I think the content thing's a little overplayed, like you're just going to put content up and something's going to happen. That'd be like Coca-Cola just putting Coke on the shelves and not monetizing. Just put it up there, don't price it, let people take it, use it, talk about it, not talk about it, like it, don't like it. Somebody's got to manage it. Somebody's got to monetize it. Somebody's gonna have to replenish it. Somebody's gonna have to get feedback. Like, it needs to fund itself. You can't just throw content on the internet and think, okay, something's gonna happen. Nothing's gonna happen. Because there's no amount of content. You know, I heard a guy say the other day, you need to put up like 10 pieces of content a day. So what?
Yeah.
Dude, 10 pieces of content a day on the internet? Is it meaningless?
That could be a full-time job and not generate.
Well, first of all, you'd have a full-time job.
Yeah.
2, it might not generate a penny. And 3, it's not going to make a difference. 10 pieces of content compared to the amount of content being dropped every day is nothing. So people need to come up with a plan where their content actually, on LinkedIn, what is it going to do? What is it driving traffic to?
The number one mistake I see businesses make with digital marketing full stop is they don't measure return on investment.
Well, I don't measure return on investment on every piece of content we drop either.
Of course not. But you know it's there.
It should be there.
Yeah.
Now, how can you do return on investment if you're not monetizing? Like what? When did we start coming up with this nonsense? Like,
yeah. So like people say, oh, if you're not in social media marketing or you're not in content marketing, you're dead in the water. Which I guess makes sense. But there's also a lot of people
true.
That are doing it and are doing it wrong. And they're just as
dude, there's a lot of businesses out there making a lot of money. I mean, unbelievable money without doing any of that.
Yeah.
So you can't take, you know, every company that's making money and suddenly say, well, if you're not online, you're not gonna make money. I mean, there's a lot of businesses making money that aren't paying attention to social media. So, and look, we're all figuring it out. Nobody knows really any of this stuff. Like, it's shifting so fast. These vehicles are here today, gone tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I don't pretend that we know like any metric on any of the platforms. We do a decent job. We did about 40 million on e-commerce last year.
Oh yeah, we got a lot of products on the website, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So you have to have products. The content needs to drive to a product.
Yeah.
That somebody can, whether it's a soda, a tennis shoe, education, a service. At some point, the content should be driving to some activity where the consumer can have a transaction with you. Because if I'm just delivering you content, I'm just bringing flowers or Coke cans or whatever to your house or content, whatever, it's all the same. And you don't ever get to transact back with me, the flow stops. The flow has to be reciprocated for there to be a ecosystem.
Like on that, like I think, because I think one of the reasons I specialize in LinkedIn is because I deal with B2B companies, high transaction value. I don't really like doing the small stuff.
Yeah.
And would it be fair to say that the YouTube and the Instagrams of the world, most of the followers, you know, would be?
You know, it's hard for me to say because we raised $225 million in 20 months. Yeah,
that's fantastic. Well done.
So who's giving me that money? Is it about $440,000 at a time?
Yeah.
And so.
And did that come out of your 10X philosophy? Like, you know, starting to do that or?
The capital raise came out of a number to solve a number of problems, but mostly to solve problems for other people, not me.
Yep.
And to challenge a financial system that's a little bit dated and unfair to the everyday investor.
Yep. So I want to talk a little bit about your 10X system because I really like the methodology because if you like growing from, this is the way I understand it, but you're growing from say like 300,000 to 400,000, what most businesses do, they look at the incremental increases, you're not really changing anything, you're just doing more, right? Whereas if you're thinking about growing from 300,000 to...
Yeah, it forces you to like think about everything different.
Yeah. Can you tell us a bit about how you came up with that strategy and how you've been implementing it?
Well, because out of mistakes that I was making, out of problems that I had with my own company, like I couldn't grow because I was thinking about incremental growth. So, you know, if you study the big players, they go out and buy stuff.
Yeah.
They have doubles. They take big companies and double them up overnight, you know? And so what I was trying to do, imagine I was owned a truck company. I had 10 trucks and these trucks were delivering services. And I'm like, okay, I'm gonna try to get to 12 trucks this year. And that'll get me some growth. You know, you don't think about all the setbacks, the problems. I lose two trucks and I'm back to 10 again. So the 10X concept is like, dude, go from 10 trucks to 100 trucks. Now you start, you move yourself into another zip code neighborhood of problems.
Yeah.
Oh shit, now, wait a minute. Now I got it. Oh my God. I was worried about like the office we had. Now I need.
So it's almost like you're creating bigger problems.
Yeah.
You come up with bigger solutions.
Exactly, exactly. To get you out of these little problems that keep you stuck in little problems.
That's scary for a lot of people.
The other way just doesn't work. 10 to 12 doesn't work. It doesn't work, it's never worked. It's never worked for anybody. Look at Tesla, man.
Yeah.
What's he do? The guy sells PayPal, takes all the money, puts all the money into three companies, and does not buy a house.
Yeah.
I think he bought himself a car.
Yeah. He's even on the floor still, wasn't he?
Yeah, exactly. He shoved all in, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Why? He's trying to go to the moon, or no, Mars. Sorry, not the moon. Mars, excuse me, Elon. Build tunnels underground, and that he doesn't even know if anybody's going to fund any of this stuff. Because it puts him to another sphere. Like when we did our 10X Growth Conference, we went from doing events where we had 200 people in them.
The first time you booked that stadium, that must have been quite an amazing feeling. I could imagine that was
When we booked it was it was terrifying.
When you put the deposit down, you mean?
The whole thing was like, no, writing a check for it was one thing.
You filled it up.
Being embarrassed that it was going to be empty.
Yeah.
That was the biggest threat that I had. It was not the money. Like, I'm going to lose money on this deal.
Yeah, and so if you had to, like, isolate, you know, one of the reasons, those key success factors behind that, what was it? Was it partners? Was it, what sort of strategy did you use?
No, there was no partners.
How did you fill it?
We had to fill it.
Most people can't fill, like, a room of 100 people, can't they?
No, it was easier selling 35,000 seats than it was 200 and 300, because you have to come up with a new set of solutions to everything. And then it needs to be a freaking mass commitment to the organizations.
Big commitment to take on, and then you know, do it. And then obviously it gets.
Well, we knew it would be a big score to the brand.
Yes.
If you could pull it off.
Absolutely.
Then you got to get everybody on the same page and make sure you pull it off. You know, so that goes back to your question about the business, you know, person, salesperson. What do you do? Then you have to become a leader. And you got to become, at that point, you have to become somebody that says, hey, guys, we're going to get results. And every day, we're going to get the results. And we're going to fill the place up. And I don't want to hear anything about, oh, yeah, we're doing it on Super Bowl weekend. Stupid Grant did that. Okay. Oh, my man, the place is too big. Yeah, whatever. Oh, people aren't buying tickets. Well, okay, I don't care, dude. Figure it out.
Yeah, that's okay? The standard. Yeah.
So we found out all kind of things. Like, you know. I don't want to give you all my secret sauce, but most of the time we were giving people too much information about the event. One of the big mistakes we were making.
Like with your social media content, like I think a lot of people see the jet and they see like
the
nice cars and your lifestyle.
Yeah, yeah. And bling, bling.
Like you got a lot of haters, right? Like
you think I have more than most people?
I don't know.
You're the one that said I got a lot of haters.
Well, you talk about them, don't you? And you, one of the things you said, I was watching this video on Instagram, and you said,
yeah.
It's got to be part of your strategy. You've got to get haters. It's got to be a part of it.
Look, Jesus had them, man.
Yeah.
Like, who the hell thinks, who thinks they're not going to have haters?
Of
like,
course, yeah.
God damn, everybody's like, oh my God, Bobby doesn't like me. But dude, they crucified Jesus. Like, what are you worried about? Somebody disliked you, gave you a bad comment on YouTube, which does, the guy doesn't even have an avatar. Like, he doesn't even have his picture on there.
Is it just...
He's X41237 porn all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, that's his handle.
A little bit of it. Like, but I'm at 32,000 on LinkedIn, so it's not a huge amount.
Well, yeah, but people on LinkedIn don't hate. They don't hate. They just don't comment. And you get to YouTube, and they're like, fuck you fucking, you're a fucking idiot. You know? LinkedIn's for losers.
Yeah.
X14 porn all night long. No avatar.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You got a picture of a cartoon character.
Yeah.
Because they always do. They're just cowards and quitters.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got to get them because they generate a lot of activity.
So how do I get more haters?
You need to have a bigger opinion about stuff.
Yeah.
I'd say you need to get your opinion.
I feel like I'm pushing it already, but I need to push it more.
Yeah. Yeah, you know. You know, dude, I mean, I can show you some tricks for getting haters. Like, I know how to get them.
So, do you think...
Do interviews with people that you disagree with. You know, don't just collaborate with like-minded.
People you like, yeah.
Do some stuff with people you're like, dude, that's just stupid.
Yeah.
You know, like, try that one time. Just give me that. That's just stupid, Grant.
That's just stupid, Grant.
Yeah, you see, you didn't do it good enough. You can't roll your eyes when you do it, dude. You got to lean into it, the whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, so...
Do you talk?
But look, I'm not trying to go get haters. Just so you know, I don't have we don't have some kind of strategy to go acquire haters.
But everyone that's really successful on social media has them, so it must be, you know, it's part of the.
You know, like the jet. Okay, see the jet. Somewhere in the jet bothered you a little bit, and the cars. Yeah. You're like, well, because you brought them up, right?
Well,
you're
no, like, it's other people's perception.
I know, but I'm talking to you. I'm not talking to them. They're not in the interview today. So all I'm saying is like.
It's a Ty Lopez thing, like, you know, it's...
Oh, yeah, well, Ty's deal is different than my deal. And I know Ty.
I know it is.
And I've had Ty on my stage, right?
But
a room full, a garage full of fucking... Like, I asked him on my show, if you didn't see the interview, I'm like, well, dude, what's the strategy with...
He's just, I was just trying to show them my books.
Yeah. Yeah, I said, like, you can't tell me that, like, the dogs on the tennis court and the chicks... in bikinis and you shooting basketball. Okay. What's the strategy?
He's in the entertainment business, you know. That's the social media.
Dude, it's like the guy's done an unbelievable job. Now, the question is,
yeah.
Is it good for business?
Well, it's good for his business, for sure.
You and I don't know that for sure, you know? So everybody's got to pick, like, pick the lane you're going to roll down and then figure out, oh, wow, wait a minute. I need another lane, too. Because that lane might work for a kid 19 years old.
Yep.
But it probably ain't gonna work for, I was with this guy a couple, 3 weeks ago, and I'm like, look, dude, any real businessman is gonna know you're not a legit real businessman. I told him this off camera. I'm like, any real guy is gonna come to your location right here, say, dude, this isn't a real deal. This is at best a hawker sales guy. Like, you're not even a real business. Like, your location's not even real. Like, if you want to be legit real business people. So, you know, when you go out and buy a $50 million jet and you can put your name on the back of it, all of a sudden, execs of major companies are like,
yeah,
goddamn, that guy's either way over his skis or he's the real deal. But that kind of, Elena talks about it being trophies, but really it's just validation. Like, you can't fake, there's some things you can't fake. Garage full of cars, yeah, you can fake that. I'm not saying he is. But it's a world of games anyway. Like, just what game you're going to play and what lane you're going to be in, and then, or do you want to own the whole highway? Like I'm trying to work the whole highway when I do social media.
Yeah.
And the other side.
Yeah, you seem like somebody that's not we talk a lot about business and that sort of thing, but you've done really well in your relationship, your family life, and you just seem to be loving life. Like, you seem to have nailed it in a lot of different areas. You seem to be in great shape.
Yeah, thank you.
You're in the best shape you've been in.
Best shape of my entire life.
Fantastic.
Since I was like a kid. Because you don't want some of this. You don't want health without money. I mean, I'd rather health than money. But you know, I don't want to be healthy and broke. I've been broke. So raise your hand if you've been broke. People on LinkedIn, if you've ever been broke, raise your hand. So if you want to stay broke, don't raise your hand. Just don't even pay attention to us. But dude, you want health and you want money, but you also want time. You know, and then if you got health, money, and time, then you want people. Like, you don't want a bunch of time and a bunch of good health and a bunch of money and be by yourself.
Yeah.
Like, that is just no fun.
And what are you excited about in your business? What's the number one thing that you're super pumped about at the moment?
Man, I got so many things. I would never have one thing I'm excited about. One thing won't keep me excited. We're doing a big, huge push in the U.S., a project we're working on.
Yeah.
Where I'll be everywhere. Like, everywhere, dude.
Wow.
When I say everywhere, what do you think? What's the first thing that comes to your mind?
Oh, I just think about content, but yeah.
No, but where, what would it be?
You're going to run for president.
my daughter wants me to, by the way. Papa, you'd make a lot of people happy if you ran for president. So you know, we got a big push in the U.S., huge push internationally. Whether we can pull that off or not, I don't know. You know, it's because international travel, it's just hard. It's like, takes a big, like, if you want to do something big internationally, it takes. Look at the biggest companies in the world. Today we're fascinated with individuals like Ty, Grant, Gary, Tony. You know,
do you think the personal branding thing will run its course, or
it won't matter if there's no money?
Yeah, exactly. The market will.
You got to have Coke cans in every shelf.
Yeah.
You got to be on everybody's phone.
Dominate.
You got to think in a scale. 10x is not even a scale big enough. Like, you got to think in terms of, like, okay, I got to be in every zip code. You have zip codes here?
Yeah.
Yeah. You got to be in every zip code. You know, we come here, we visited Sydney, Brisbane, Melbourne.
Yeah.
You know, where didn't I get to? Tasmania, Adelaide, Perth, Northern Australia, the Northeast, Cairns, Townsville.
Yeah.
Like, nobody even knows me here.
Well, are you going to be coming back more? Is it
for sure.
Part of the process? Yeah. You're going to be doing some business here?
For sure.
Yeah, cool. How can I help?
Let's roll, dude.
Yeah.
Let's do some business. Let's monetize as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
Let's make money and let's help other people make money. Lots of it. Let me tell you, the thing I'm doing with Cardone Capital, okay? This is what I discovered was, for years I've been getting money from people. And I spent some time with a billionaire, and he started a company, was taking it public. He made a bunch of people a bunch of money. So Grant, the smartest thing I ever did was tell people about the company I was doing. I said, why is that? He's like, because they're investing with me. I said, yeah, okay, I'm listening. Bring me the rest. I'm looking for the meat on the bone here, bro. What, tell me the deal. He's like, Grant, people pray for me at night.
Yeah.
I said, what? He's like, people all over the world, thousands, tens of thousands of people are pulling for me every night when they go to sleep. I said, what, man? I was so intrigued by this, okay? It changed my life when I heard this. He's like, what? He said, look, he's like, I got thousands of people that are investing in my company at night. They know their future depends on how well I do. They're pulling for me. I said, brother, thank you so much. Appreciate your time. I went back to my room and started Cardone Capital.
Right.
That's why I started Cardone Capital. I said, man, I'm going to start Cardone Capital. I'm going to let people from all over the world, in every region on the planet, invest in Cardone Capital. Yep. I'm going to make sure it's the best investment they've ever made in their lifetime. They're going to get a check from me every month. People around the world. 150 countries are going to pray for Grant Cardone tonight. So imagine if you're pulling for yourself, right?
Yeah.
Imagine 1 million people pulling for you. Wouldn't it be easier? So my goal is to send people more money out every month than they've ever given me in my whole career.
Yeah. I think we could help on LinkedIn.
Let's do it.
And so, like, I'm willing to invest in it. I want it to be based on results.
Yeah.
And when it works, you know, I think you'd be a great advocate for my brand. So let me prove myself.
Let's go. Yeah. Let's do it.
Yeah, it'd be awesome.
Send something to Rock.
Okay.
Okay, Raquel.
I have one last question for the...
Is it a big question?
Well, LinkedIn Heroes is a series.
Oh, my God. So what superhuman... Well, first of all, there is...
Would you be?
What super...
Grant Cardone.
Yeah, I'd be Grant Cardone. Fuck Batman. Batman ain't got shit on me. Yeah, exactly, dude. Look, Ben Affleck, who played one of the Batman.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he was bidding on a house that I bought.
Oh, really?
I bought a house next to Leo DiCaprio.
Really?
I'm bragging. This is a total brag, okay? I'm just totally bragging right now. It's not a humble brag. This is just fucking ostentatious, just arrogant American bragging.
Yeah, but that's pretty cool.
So Ben Affleck's bidding on the deal. I said, ain't no way that punk. He's just a script reading actor.
Did you pay for that property? Right?
I said, he's never going to step up for it, okay? I bought that house for $8.3 million. Yeah. He didn't step up and buy it. I said, what a punk. Somebody gives him $20 million a movie at the height of his career playing fucking Batman. Okay? Look, man, I bought the house, sold it for $19 million.
Yeah, cool.
Okay? And Ben Affleck, he looked at the house at $8.3 million, didn't buy it. Came back and looked at it with me for 15. I said, dude, you didn't buy it at 8.3. You ain't going to buy it at 15. And then I sold it for 19.
Yeah.
I like that. Well, I'm going to stay with what you said. What super, what hero would I be?
Grant Cardone.
Grant Cardone.
Yeah.
Grant Cardone.
That's almost as good as when somebody said Nathaniel Bibby when I asked them, which is my name.
Yeah, that's awesome, dude. That's awesome. I like that.
Oh, well, thanks for your time, Grant. It's been a pleasure to catch up with you.
Yeah, dude. Pleasure meeting you. Okay, let's do something on LinkedIn together.
Yeah.
Okay?
You'll crush it.
Let's prove it out.
Sounds good.